Open your Bibles, if you will, to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let me ask you a question while you're doing that. How many of you believe once saved, always saved? Let me see your hands. Great. How many of you could prove that in the Bible? It's like, you can? Mary, all right. I want to invite you to come back tonight. I think it's one of the most pivotal foundational truths that we need to know in this day and age. And I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to take you on a journey tonight. I'm going to provide you with a list of scriptures that you can take with you and walk through and lay this out for you and show you why you're either forever saved, or if you have the ability to lose it, you're forever forsaken. It's not I can come and go and come and go and come and go and come and go. You're either saved, you either have eternal life, or you never will. You have it. If you can lose it, you'd never get it back. I'll show you that tonight, so I'd like you to come if you can. We'll have a good time. We'll make it fun as we walk through it. So, policeman stops his car, driven by an elderly lady, and she has three other elderly ladies in the car. And they're going 15 miles an hour, so he stops them, and he says, ma'am, get your driver's license, talk to her. He says, the reason I stopped you is you're going really, really slow. Matter of fact, it's too slow for this highway. She said, but the speed limit is 15. He kind of smiled. He said, no, ma'am, it's highway 15. It's not, you know, the speed limit's 65 out here. That's why you can't be driving 15. She goes, oh, I see. And he looked around and the other ladies were white and pasty and just looked really ill. He said, are they okay? She said, oh, yeah, they're fine. We just got off of highway 110. Sometimes we just see the signs and really don't pay attention to what they mean or what we ought to do with them. Amen? Okay. Some years ago, I had some church members join the church I was pastor of in Muskogee. It was another church there in Muskogee. And as I was visiting with them, one of the reasons they joined the church was they had their pastor had got up one Sunday and said, why do bad things happen to good people? Why do we suffer? Why do we go there? And he went through this nearly a 30-minute thing of talking about this tragedy and that tragedy and this heartache and that cancer and this baby dying and just went through this whole series of tragic things that had happened to really good people. And then at the end of it, he said, why does this happen? And his answer was, honestly, I don't know. But I know we have to trust God. They told me that and it broke my heart. And I said, no, that's not the answer. I can give you a list of six things. Matter of fact, I was going to do this and God won't let me do it, but I'm going to do a little bit of it. Just a little bit of it. Because it leads to where we're going to be. I can give you six biblical reasons why bad things happen to good people. Satan. He's the God of this world. He is the enemy of the church. If you're a God-fearing, living Christian person, the devil and his army of demons are going to hassle you. Sin. Unconfessed sin in your life. Christians are not sinless. Amen? If you just, how many of you think you are? Now don't be like that old guy that stood up in the church and the preacher said, man, you're not sinless. What are you doing? He said, oh, I'm not standing up for me. I'm standing up for my wife's first husband. It'll get there. Supplication. God wants us to pray always. And so God allows things in our lives that bring us to our knees. God does that. Sanctification. I can go on. I can give you all these lists of things of why bad things happen to really good people. But what I need to share with you today is more about how you should behave. What should you do when bad things happen? How many of you have ever had something bad happen to you? Let me see your hands. Oh, yeah. Listen, my world has caved in on me many times. I've hit that place where nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. I just want to eat some worms. Big fat. You remember? Never mind. If you didn't see that song, you never got where I've been, okay? I've been there when my world has just fallen apart. But like everything else, if we really truly believe God and we believe His Bible, we believe there's an answer for everything. Okay? So there the answer is here. James is a harsh book. You don't want to read James if you don't want to know the truth that's going to go against what most of us would like to believe. He's hard, you know. He says, show me your faith by your works. Show me reality. Live a life that says, I'm born again. Okay? Stand, if you will, for the reading of God's Word. We're going to read the first 8 verses. And in this, we're going to talk about the joy of tribulation. We're going to find out what it is that God wants us to do when bad things happen to us. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For now let that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Father, we thank you for this day and for this opportunity to be in your house and gathered with your children. And we pray, God, that you'll guide us. All of us have faced heartaches. All of us have gone through tragedy. And until you come and take us out of this life, we're going to face additional tragedies. I pray, God, that you'll use today as a time to take us to school, to show us and guide us how you want us to think and how you want us to behave and how you want us to believe and how you want us to be when tragedy comes our way. Let the Lord Jesus himself be the example to us. Let him be the one to whom we look for as we see in his life how we should be when the dark storms come our way. Touch us, guide us, direct us, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and be seated. First of all, we're going to talk about an attitude. What is the attitude we should have when things go badly? Okay, now I wish I had time to talk to you about James. You know he was the brother of Jesus. He grew up with Jesus. Can you imagine growing up with a perfect child, the perfect brother? I mean, literally, sinless, perfect in every way. He was not a believer. Matter of fact, he was pretty much an anti-believer, but we're told after the resurrection of Christ, of the 10 appearances he made, one of them was to James. And James became a believer. Man, he was a pastor's pastor back in those days. And here he introduces himself not as the brother of Jesus, but as the bondservant. And he's writing to the church that's been scattered abroad. I mean, the persecution against the church has come with full fury. A lot of these people have lost their jobs. They've lost their income. They've lost their savings. Many of them lost their families because their families disowned them when they became Christian. They've been persecuted. Many of them have been put into prison. They've scattered out. They've left Jerusalem. They've gone everywhere all over the place they can to try to find refuge where they can still believe in Jesus and not suffer persecution. Many of their friends had lost their lives. You remember, a lot of things had happened. So James writes to them. He says, look, tragedy has befallen us. Heartaches and trials have come our way. So what should you do? Now notice this. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, I want you to understand the word count. And it's an accountant word. It means to evaluate. Now, it doesn't mean, oh, woe is me. Oh, here it goes again. Or sit over in the corner and go, oh. It means stop. Evaluate it. Think about it. Don't just run and hide. Don't get all sold up. Don't get mad. Don't start throwing out accusations. Don't start screaming, why? Stop and look at it and examine it. Take it and count it and begin to look at it and hold it. And as you do, count it a joy. Huh? You mean I'm supposed to get slapped with some tragedy and go, ha, 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 ha. No, it doesn't say with happiness. It says with joy. We get the world telling us what is entertainment. We get the world telling us what is happiness. We get the world telling us that it's all a thing about having fun. Joy is about inner peace. It's not my lovely wife who is joy. I always bring joy to your church when I come. Not everybody can say that. We're talking about an inner peace. We're talking about, it's an insight. It is a deep-rooted belief that you understand and that you know God is on His throne. That's what inner joy is. It is the ability to understand that although my world just crashed in around me, God's still sitting on His throne. Now, I want you to understand this, divers temptations. If you have an old King James, it'll say divers temptations. In the New King James, it says various trials. I want you to understand what it is. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. I don't want anyone to go to the place to try to figure out something and say, well, you know, we're talking about when you get tempted to stray off on the side. No, we're not. We're tempted because we're flesh. That's the devil's avenue to try to get to us and try to move us away. What we're talking about are absolute, real, honest tragedies. You just got told you're losing your job. That is a tragedy. You just got told you have cancer and you have 6 months to live. That is a tragedy. You're going through and you just find out one of your children is strung out on drugs and has been doing drugs. That is a tragedy. That is a heartache. That is a horrible thing that happens in your life. Have you ever known those things that happen to really Christian people? Absolutely. Have you ever seen godly people and see their lives just suddenly fall apart? Absolutely. God allows those things to happen. It is a part of His holy and sovereign will. Look at Jesus. Did Jesus skate through life? Absolutely not. He was hounded, persecuted, criticized, chased. He was accused. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was crucified. He was punished. We're talking about the Son of God. Bad things are going to happen. I told you a little bit of the reasons. There are all kinds of biblical reasons given why things turn south on us and why things go badly on us. And what God says is when those tragedies happen, and they will happen, these things are going to happen to your life. When those things happen, stop, look at it, don't react to it. Matter of fact, if you study the Bible, you as a Christian are never allowed to react. You are to simply act. You are to evaluate it, you are to count on it, you're to look at it, you're to examine it, and you make a deliberate choice, and that choice is, I'm going to count it a joy in the depths of my heart that I know, as dark as this is, as bad as this is, as difficult as this is, as hard as this is, as heartbreaking as this is, God's still on His throne. And nothing's going to change that. He is who He always has been. He is who He always will be. At the height of your life, that God is sitting on His throne blessing you and watching over you and caring for you. At the lowest valley of your life, that same God is still sitting on His throne watching over you, caring for you, and blessing you. Our attitude when tragedy happens has to be, I know God still rules. And deep in my heart, beyond the tears, I'm not saying you can't cry about it. Listen, I've gone through tragedy. I've lost my mom. That was difficult. Joy's lost her dad and her mom. We go through those times where we lose people that are near and dear to us, and it hurts. It brings tears. But through those teary eyes, I know God still sits on His throne. That's a different attitude between sitting in the corner, nobody loves me, everybody hates me. Why is this happening to me? Or the option, just getting angry. I've known godly people who got angry because tragedy hit them. We had some church members at Muskogee. They finally got their lives right and came back into church, and they were great church members. But years before I had come there, they had a teenage daughter who got sick and died. And they became angry and bitter. And they didn't want anything to do with God, and they didn't want anything to do with the church. You see, they fought it with anger. A lot of people do things with resentment. They do it because they have to do it. You're not going to see it. You're not going to understand it. God's not going to bless you. The attitude is one of God still on his throne. Let's talk about the anticipation. The answer is why? Why should I count this as joy? Why should I lean back and trust the fact that God's still on his throne, even though my world's falling apart? Well, notice what it says. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Okay, now let's talk about this. Number one, patience is not a virtue that I have. Amen? I'm like a person that would pray, God, I need patience, and I need it right now, this moment. Okay, patience is not something that I relish in. However, what I've discovered about patience is it's a simple thing of reaching a place of faith to trust that God's going to have his way. How many of you believe the scripture says all things work together for the good to those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose? How many of you believe that? Okay, you understand it doesn't say that all things are good, right? It simply says that all things work together for the good. So God takes the tragedy in my life, and somehow or another, by the end of this tragedy, God makes it something good in my life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I can give you example after example after example of all these years of my life, and you could too, where I've gone through the valleys, I've gone through the heartaches, I've gone through the struggles, only to come out on the other side and be a better person because of what I've just gone through. I watched God work. I saw God do things that I couldn't have seen do any other way. Miracle after miracle, blessing after blessing. So what I want you to understand is that what this does is when patience is when we're put in a position where we can't do anything but let God do his work. Amen? Been there? Okay. That's when you acknowledge, I can't fix this. The banker can't fix this. The doctor can't fix this. I'm going to believe and trust that God can and God will fix this according to his will. Now, he may will that that cancer is going to take your life. If he does, what's going to end up with you? You're going to heaven. You win. Amen? That's our philosophy. We believe that God's that much in control. So patience is, I'm going to believe that God's going to get me through this. I'm going to pray. I'm going to trust him. I'm going to work with him. I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to learn from him. I'm going to do his will. And I'm going to have patience in the belief that he's on his throne and he's working in this situation. If we reach that place, here's what happens. Patience makes us perfect. Not sinless, perfect. The word is teleos. And it simply means complete. Now let me teach you what complete is, what this means. Bill McCombs, stand up. If we had a picture of Bill when he was a little boy, do they look anything exactly like now? No, he's a few years older. And yet he is the teleos of the little boy that little Billy was. You can sit down, brother. I just want you to know I'm fixing to gun you down and I'm setting you up, preparing the way. I'm the teleos of the little boy I was. Mary, you're the teleos of the little girl you were. Every oak tree is the teleos of the little acorn it once was. It doesn't mean that every man's the same or every woman's the same or every oak tree's the same. Very valuable lesson. God has a design and a plan for each of us. God never intended, if I could have, I would have been pastor of First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas. God never intended me to be the pastor of First Baptist, Dallas, Texas. Okay? Where he wanted me to be is where he molded me and shaped me and guided me and led me. And that's been the ministry I've had over all these years. And I've loved it. Absolutely loved it. What happens is in these tragedies, God is working in your life to mold you, to shape you, to build you, to help you become the person he wants you to be. How much difference should there be between somebody who's been saved for 20 years as to somebody who's been saved for 2 months? Should be this much? The sad thing is, usually somebody that's been saved for 2 months would have to backslide to catch up to the rest of us. Oh, I'm sorry, that was ugly. Truthful, but ugly. There should be a vast difference. That difference is teleos. So what the scripture says is, Our anticipation is even though this is difficult, if the Bible's telling me the truth, it means that in that difficult time, God is making me more like He wants me to be, so that I can become the person I need to be. I can give you all kinds of examples of times I've gone through tragedies, and at the time I said, man, what's going on with this? Only to later face something that's similar to that, only worse, but I was prepared for it because I knew what God was going to do. I knew how God was going to do it. I knew how God was going to handle it, and I knew the best way to go through that trial. That's how God works. And so our attitude is based on the fact that we have this confidence that we have something to look forward to. I don't like trials. I don't like heartaches. I don't like bad news. I don't like struggles. But in my Christian faith, I've come to learn that even though I must go through those times, I'm going to come out a stronger, better person because God is molding and shaping my life. However, beyond that attitude and anticipation, I'm going to talk about the action. Somebody tell me what the second word of verse 4 is. What is it? Oh, don't you hate that? Let. Allow. Give permissions. Surrender. Say okay. Wouldn't it be better if it just happened? It doesn't. It requires that you, by faith, say, God, you are in control. I trust you, and I'm allowing you to work in my life. This pain hurts. This news is devastating. But I'm going to watch you work in my life, and I surrender to your perfect will for my life. Now, I'm going to tell you something. That's not the easiest thing in the world to do. If you're given the news that you have cancer, then you have to say to God, God, I don't want to die. I really want to go on living. I want to see my children grow up, or I want to see my grandchildren. I know I'm going to heaven. I just really don't want to die. But, God, I trust you. And if your will is for me to live, great. If your will is for me to die and to come to heaven, great. You understand? That's not easy to do. I just got news. I'm losing my job. That's horrible. God, but I'm going to trust you that you've got something else you're wanting me to do. You promised you would help me provide for my family. You promised as long as I served you, was faithful to you, that we would eat and we would have clothing and we would have shelter. God never said that you'd have a mansion, that you'd wear Italian handmade, hand-sewn suits. But God said He would take care of you. And I trust you. I'm going to allow you and let you and watch you work in my life. Action on your part. If you do it with resentment, it's not going to happen. If you do it with fear, it's not going to happen. If you do it because you just can't do anything else and you roll over and just let things happen to you, not going to happen. It is an action of faith. You lacked patience. Do His perfect work in you. You let God mold and shape your life. Which means He has to take off the rough spots. Which means He has to beat you up. Which means He may have to spank you. Which means He has to take things away from you. And yet in all those things, God takes care of me. How many of you have ever studied the life of Job? Woo! Job had it all. He had a large family. He had money. He was like a gazillionaire back in those days. Everybody for miles and miles around knew about old Job. Man, he walked with God and he was wealthy. God gave him everything. And in a short course of time, he lost it all. He lost all of his flocks, all of his herds. He lost all of his wealth. He lost all of his children. Lost his health. He lost everything. Now, what do you think about that? Throughout the course of that, he remain faithful to God. Amen. When it was all over. Now, there was a couple of spankings. You know, he was a Baptist. Amen. There's a couple of spankings. But when it was all over, God gave him back everything he'd taken away from him, or allowed to be taken away from him, plus so much more. Why? Because Job let God do his thing. Cursed God and die. Why would I curse God? Naked in this world I came, naked in this world I go out. It's not God's doing. God's been good to me. Why should I curse God? See what he was doing? He was letting God work. I could give you example after example after example of those who've gone on before us, who walked through the fiery trials. And I'm going to tell you something. If you know God, you're going to have fiery trials. Even people who don't know God go through some really tragic things. The difference is they don't have hope. We do. Amen?
Amen.
We do as long as we understand what's going on. One last thing I want to share with you. So we understand that the attitude is one of inner peace. Not, but just one that says it's going to be okay. I may die tonight, but it's going to be okay. I may lose everything I've got, but it's going to be okay. Because God's on his throne. I've measured it. I've done the accounting of it. At the end of the day, it's going to be okay because God's on his throne. The anticipation is, somehow or another, through all this heartache and struggle and tragedy, God's going to make me a better person. God's going to use my situation to touch those around me. Man, my life has been touched by those who I've worked with and been around who have suffered, haven't yours? We've watched churches go through tragedies, come out stronger. We anticipate God's going to do that. And we allow it. The action is, we let. Now, one more thing is the assurance. How do I know? Well, first of all, let's go to verse 5 for a moment. Listen carefully. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Whoever said you can't question God? Huh? Whoever said you can't question God? Now, listen to me. You can't go to God. Why are you doing this to me? What have I done to you? No, you're not allowed to do that. But listen to me. If God's bringing tragedy in your life to mold you and shape you, doesn't he want you to understand what's going on? Yes? No? It's not a business meeting. You can actually nod and your head won't fall off. If you lack wisdom, ask. Now listen to me. Knowledge is the understanding of how to do something. Okay? It's like skill. Wisdom is insight. It is understanding why and what. It's understanding it as God understands it. So if any of you don't understand what God's doing, let him ask. And God gives to all men liberally. God wants you to know what he's doing in your life. He's not trying to hide it from you. God doesn't get pleasure going around going, watch this. Did you see how many times the fat boy rolled when I came? That's not what God does. God wants to mold me and shape me and make my life stronger and better. He wants my faith to be more in him. He wants my comprehension of his greatness and his awesome and his power and to see him doing things in my life that he can only do if I'm in a storm. So all I have to do is say, God, what is it you want me to see? What is it I need to learn? Is there something I need to change in my life? Sometimes it is. I misbehave. I don't know if y'all do or not. I misbehave. I'm not that guy you talked about. I'm about the opposite of it. God has a handful with me. Trust me. Ask my wife. If any of you don't understand, you're free to say, God, what's going on? Don't let somebody tell you, oh, you can't question God. You know, the world's falling around you, man, don't question God. Just, you know, just yield. No, man, you can ask. God does these things because he wants you to learn. He wants you to be smarter, stronger, more insightful than you were before the tragedy hit. He'll give it to you. He won't hold back anything. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. What's the scripture say? Let's see. Without faith, it is what? To please God? What?
Impossible.
Wow. You can't do anything if you don't do it by faith and it be pleasing to God. Do you understand that? You can go to church. If you don't do it by faith, it's not pleasing to God. You can join every church in the world if you don't do it by faith. Because this is what God wants you to do. It's not pleasing to God. You can give tons of money, but if it's not by faith, it's not pleasing to God. Wow. Woo. So if you're going to ask God, God, show me, reveal to me, help me understand the tragedy that now is beset upon me, you do it by faith. By faith says, I'm willing to accept your answer. Go back to verse 4. Let. You see, here's the deal. If God says, I'm doing this because I want to prepare you for the mission field, and you go, not this fat man. No, I'm not going over to Africa. Not me. Is God going to give you good answers? Is God going to give you relief? Is God? The answer is no. If God says, I'm trying to prepare you to go to Africa on a mission trip, you say, God, what do you want me to learn? What is it I need to do? You hear the difference? See, so many times we want to go along with God as long as it fits in our plan. As long as it's in our little circle or our little box, everything is good. But if God wants us to get outside of the way we see things, outside our comfort zone or outside what we like to do, then we want to go, Guess what? You're a double-minded man, you're unstable in all your ways, and you're like a sea tossed by the wind. You're useless. Have you ever seen those church members that you can talk to them and say, man, I don't think we need that carpet. We need red carpet. They go, yeah, we need red carpet. And the next person comes along and says, you know what would be great in there? Light blue. Light blue would just make it so nice and friendly. Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah? Come on. You know who I'm talking about. Don't nudge them. I'm not making this up. I'm telling you what the Bible says. James says, if you're wishy-washy, don't let that man think he will get anything from God. Double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Tragedy comes to all of us. You may be young in school. Let me tell you something. By the time you get to my age, and it's the right old age, there's going to be a lot of heartache. A lot of tears. A lot of struggles. A lot of fears. A lot of what do I do? Man, the storms, clouds have rolled in. The sun's gone away. And it's gotten dark. And you can see the flash of lightning and hear the thunder. And it's like your whole world is falling around you, because it's part of life. Tragedy is going to come your way. I don't care who you are sitting here today. You have been subject to tragedy. You maybe right now are going through tragic times. And I will promise you, short of Jesus taking you home, you're going to face tragic times. That's part of what the Bible says. The question is, as a Christian, how should you behave? You got to have the right attitude, brothers and sisters. You got to look at it, evaluate it, count it a joy. It's not fun, but it's a chance for you to see the Almighty on His throne in control. You got to begin to anticipate that somehow or another, in the midst of all this, when it's over, you're going to be a better person. You're going to know God better than you've ever known Him before. Have you been there? Have you gone through those tragedies, gone through those heartaches? And to see God move mountains and perform miracles, and when you get done, you look back and say, man, had it not been for God, I could have done this. I would have been gone. But God was there. That's what we anticipate. Every time the storms come, we know God is there.
like when he went walking on the water to the guys out in the middle of the sea. He was there, in the middle of that tragedy. There he was. The action is, you're not going to fall apart. You're going to bow your life in sweet surrender to the sovereign will of a mighty, holy, awesome God. He is in control. Whether you want it to happen or not, He's in control. The question is, do you surrender to His will and say, God, I'm yours. Speak to me. Speak to me. The assurance is I can ask Him, God, what do you want me to learn? What are you doing in my life? What is it I need to do? Where is it I need to go? Now, sometimes, friends, it's obvious. If you're living a sinful life, you know what you need to do. If God told you to go to Africa and you told Him no, you know what you need to do. You understand? But if you're in a tragedy and you've been serving God and you don't know what's going on, ask Him. I promise you, He'll tell you. Freely, liberally, He'll tell you. So I want to ask you a question today. Have you gone through a tragedy that's left you scarred? You need to get on your knees today and say, God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry that I went the wrong way with that. And I do love you. And I know that you always mean best for my life. And I ask you to forgive me for the way I handled that. Okay? Are you going through a tragedy? Have you surrendered to His will? Have you got on your knees and said, Lord, I belong to you. You're my God. Do with me as you will. I will serve you. I will praise you. If I'm standing on a mountaintop or walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I will lift my voice up and praise you because you're the Almighty God. Would you do that today? If right now life is good, you need to thank the Lord. But you need to be ready. You need to make a commitment because I promise you a storm is just around the corner. It'll be that way until we go home. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, Father in heaven, we ask you in Jesus' name to join us in a very special way. It's a very special time. We need your presence with us as we enter into this time of invitation. I don't know where these folks are in their life and their walk with you. I don't know if they've been given bad news or if their life is going well. Lord, I don't know what's going on in their life, but I know that you do. I pray that each and every one of them will come to grip with your sovereignty today. And that they will understand and know exactly what it is that they need to do when tragedy comes their way. Would you bless this invitation in Jesus' name?